It's always a privilege to come to speak to this church because I spent most of my growing up years where you are right now. We moved here in 1979 when I was 7 years old. And I was here until I went to college at Virginia Tech. So I have been where you are right now. And I want to share a little bit to begin with, just a brief little bit about my family. I am married with 5 children. My oldest, Andrew, is 19, and then Abigail is 17, Anna is 15, Aaron is 12, and Ava Grace is 8. You can see, that's Ava Grace right there in the middle. She's the youngest, and she commands everyone's attention. We live in a little town called Clarkston, which is the perimeter of about 1 o'clock. Just some quick facts about Clarkston. It's 1.5 square miles in diameter, but it's home to about 15 to 18,000 refugees. They've been settling there since the 80s. And, 180 people groups, and over 90 of those people groups have been identified as unreached. So like Pastor Bob said, literally, God has brought the nations to us. When we were considering whether God was really calling us to Atlanta or not, I came across this verse from Isaiah 55, verse 5. It says, "Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." And it hit me. That's what God is doing today, right now. God is bringing people from countries where missionaries wouldn't be able to enter. It wouldn't be safe. But God is bringing them here, and they are open because many of their cultures are so hospitable and friendly. They wonder, why don't Americans come and visit me? They are used to people just showing up at their doorstep. And so while some people think that door-to-door evangelism is dead in the United States, we do door-to-door evangelism every week, and we see fruit from it. So the passage that the Lord laid on my heart to share with you today is from Romans 10. So if you have your Bible, pull it out. I'll be reading it from my little phone here. Use your electronic device as you wish. Romans 10, beginning in verse 12, it says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ." I want you to look down for a minute. Look down at your feet. You know, take your shoes off if you need to. Look at those ugly things. Those are I think I'm going to preach today in bare feet. I want you to look at your feet and ask yourself, are these beautiful feet? Are these beautiful feet? If you're taking the good news, they are. God sees your feet as beautiful feet. You know the Great Commission, I hope. Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." It's his authority. You know, if you want beautiful feet, you don't have to be a master of evangelism. You just need to know Jesus, who has all authority, all power in heaven and on earth. I used to think, man, I'm not an evangelist. I can't be a Billy Graham. Well, no, I don't have to be a Billy Graham, and neither do you. You have beautiful feet. If you will heed the word of God, the word of Jesus to us, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you, even to the end of the age." These are beautiful feet. Oh, they're gone now. They're here. These are beautiful feet. And I really hope and pray and desire that you would see that your feet are beautiful feet also. Because like that song we sang, I hope those weren't just words to you. He's the God of this city. And greater things are yet to come. Oh, I've lived in the South for over 20 years, but my heart is still here in Pittsburgh. I love this city. And I hope that you will love this city. Love not the nice places to go. Love the people. The people. Go ahead to the next slide. Oh, well, that was supposed to be a fancy slide that advanced one by one. But I wanted to just give you some biblical background of feet in the Bible. Feet in the Bible need washing. They're usually kind of dirty. They need washing. Feet in the Bible claim ground. God said to them, "Everywhere where your foot sets, I will give you." You can claim ground. I believe we still claim ground today for the Lord. Advance the kingdom. Feet are a place of power and authority. God is making everything a footstool for Jesus. He has all power and authority. It's at his feet. And also, feet are a place of humility and worship. We fall at his feet to humble ourselves, to worship him, to say, "Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Feet take us into good or evil. Feet can be used to destroy, treading on things. And feet can bring bad news, and feet can bring the best news. And honestly, our feet have been pretty busy this summer. Our summer started back in May. Family went to General Council of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a sweet time. We got to have my oldest son, Andrew, with us the first couple days, and then we put him on a plane from Nashville to Thailand. And he had to quarantine the first 14 days he got there, and then started this mission trip in Chiang Mai. And it was right on our anniversary weekend in July that we got a call from Andrew that he had been in an accident and had broken his face. He was diving off of a 30-foot high cliff. He was at a water park, so he wasn't being completely stupid. This was a place where you were supposed to jump off the rocks. But as a young teenage boy, he decided that he was going to see how many flips he could do into the water. And he just he did two full flips, and then on the third flip, he came face down into the water and broke his orbital bone in his cheek. And, you know, so we were here on this side of the world wanting to be with him. They said he was going to need to have surgery or he was going to have headaches and double vision for the rest of his life. So it was pretty serious. But the Lord went before us, as he always does. As we were talking and trying to figure things out on this end, the Lord provided one of the two top plastic surgeons in Thailand. Both of these names were recommended to us by a doctor here in the States. He said, these are the top two guys over there. We asked Andrew, who's the doctor that's doing your surgery? It was one of those men. That's God. You know, it was especially hard on my wife, Angela. She wanted so badly to be with her son. But he had the surgery, and this is post-op surgery picture. And then this is a picture of him just a couple weeks later. He healed enough, and his eye was, the pressure was good, so the doctor cleared him to fly. He completed his whole mission trip and was able to fly home with his buddies. So we were very thankful for that. And we praise God for how he worked and his healing. We came right back from council, jumped into our summer, and my wife is the intern coordinator for our Envision. We had 9 interns. One of those is the Angela's assistant. And so Angela started working with them. I started working with them some. We had several teams where some taught English, some did church planting with me. So one of them worked on the farm. And they helped out with teams. Go ahead to the next slide. We had a different team come in from somewhere in the U.S., and they did VBSs at several of the apartment complexes that we're working in, so the interns were able to help with that. One intern helped with our farm. We have a farm. I don't know if we communicated that the last time we were here, but the Lord provided a 60-acre farm 30 minutes from Clarkston. And this is Tyler. He has been an intern, but now is coming on staff with us. He is working with the farmers. I'll show them to you in a minute, but we have 20 goats now, and also 20 chickens. And go ahead to the next. This is my little girl, Ava Grace, and one of our sweet refugee girls from Congo. Go ahead to the next. And so they don't want to just raise livestock separate from us in Clarkston. They're bringing the refugees to the farm because they love it, because many of them are from agricultural societies. So they just, it's so fun to just see their eyes light up, and they love the animals. The next slide is, this is Matt and Stephanie Stein. They are our farmers. And we started this whole thing because we had a crazy idea. Somalians in particular are, there are about 5,000 Somalians in Clarkston. The only place I think in the U.S. that there's a greater concentration is in Minneapolis, believe it or not. They send the people from the hottest part of the world to the coldest part of the U.S. I don't get it. But Somalians love camel's milk. And there's a guy on the West Coast that is using camel's milk to develop inroads into Somali communities where he is. And so we thought, well, that would be great, but where do we get camel's milk? So we started to do research, and we finally decided we've just got to have our own camel dairy. And so Matt and Stephanie are right now getting goats, but hopefully by the end of this year, the beginning of next, we will have camels. We will get our first camels. In his research, Matt has determined that in order for a camel to let you milk it, you have to basically raise it from a, I don't know what they're called, a kid, a baby camel. So they will raise, they're going to, baby camels are expensive. I think they're $1,000 a piece. But we're gonna buy some number of them, raise them, and then breed them and milk them. So that is, and then use the camel's milk. Probably myself and my team, our church planting team, will be delivering camel's milk someday. So hopefully in the near future you will hear about that. So this is a group of boys that showed up on our doorstep many days. This is my backyard. We kind of have a wilderness backyard. Actually, from that trampoline, if you bounce high enough, you can see all the way over the roof of my house. And I have a two-story house. So my backyard is like a mountain. And we just basically found a place where we could have 15 feet of flat ground at the highest point. But you know, these kids would walk a couple miles, it is, from their apartment to my house, sometimes every day, just to come and jump on the trampoline. And I share this particular thing because this is another God thing. We've gone through, I think, two trampolines already. This is our third one. My kids and the refugee kids are pretty rough on things. And so at the beginning of the summer, our last trampoline was pretty much dead. There was a big hole in it. So Angela and my two youngest that love it the most started praying, Lord, would you somehow provide us a trampoline? You know, we were looking into it ourselves, but one of Angela's friends called and said, you know, when we were there visiting, we saw your trampoline had a hole in it, and our church wants to buy you a new trampoline since you're using it for ministry. And so that was the day after my kids had prayed. And so I just praise God. He hears them. He hears them. And you know, it's so cool when God shows up. God loves to answer even little prayers of little people. So I wanted to share that with you. The next picture is probably our biggest undertaking of the summer. We took 49 kids from Clarkston summer camp. This was totally a God thing. Normally, our district, the Alliance South has a summer camp in South Carolina every summer, but for the past two summers now, it's been canceled. And a lady in the Toccoa Falls region contacted my wife and said, I know you've been involved with taking kids to Power Time Camp in the past, and I just don't think it's right that they miss a second summer of camp. I want to do something about it. So, you know, Angela politely listened to her, thinking the whole time, this lady's crazy. This isn't going to work. You know, there's too many factors, too many things that have to fall into place. Well, this lady was determined. And she and her husband flipped a property and used all of their profit to rent a camp, to buy the food for the camp, to pay the way for 49 refugee kids and all of us adult chaperones. And at the end of July, we had summer camp. We left Clarkson on Sunday evening, and it was in the middle of nowhere. This guy had basically taken a chicken farm and converted it into a summer camp. But it was fun. So these boys are in line for the world's biggest water slide, slip and slide. And they literally had this ditch down the hill, and these kids just loving it. They were sliding down this huge slip and slide into this pool at the end. And they loved it. Go ahead to the next. Another guy heard what we were doing and said, I've got a speedboat. I usually do this at Power Time Camp. Could I bring my speedboat to a lake near where you are and take them tubing? And so the kids got to go tubing, and they also got to swim in the lake. Go ahead to the next. And then this was just a crazy contraption. He called it the water horse, and it was basically a water fountain where they could drink water. Every night we had speakers. This is my wife Angela speaking the first night. They had a cool little chapel out. It was outdoors with sawdust floor. And so of the 49 that went, 21 of them responded in some way, either to recommit themselves to the Lord or to receive Jesus for the first time. Good odds, about half. And I show you this picture because, go ahead, one more. This boy on your left in the front, his name is Emmanuel. He was part of that last picture where the boys were kind of gathered around me. And he said, Mr. Dan, I realized I was missing a word. I said, you were missing a word? He said, yes, I was missing a word. I said, what was it? He said, follow. He said, I realized that Jesus said to follow me. And I prayed last night that I want to follow him with all of my heart. It was an awesome moment. And I found out where Emmanuel lives. And actually, his brother, one of his brothers, is Wakilango. He's on the far right in the front. So actually, Emmanuel, even though he's shorter than Wakilango, is a couple years older than him. And I went to their office this past week and said, hey, I want to start meeting with you guys, and we can read the Bible together, and we'll learn about Jesus and how to follow him better together. How would you like that? They were like, yeah. And so on Tuesdays, when I go back, I'm going to start meeting with these boys. And then on the way out, I ran into their older brother who's been meeting with one of my friends, but is no longer going to be able to meet with him because of school. And I said, I'm going to come and meet with Emmanuel and Waki Longo on Tuesday evenings. Would you be interested? He said, sure, I'll come. And so pray for me. Pray for these boys, Emmanuel, Waki Longo, and Bendira. You probably won't remember those names, but you can at least remember Emmanuel, God with us. So pray for this family. Pray for these boys. Also, this picture reminds me of one of the moments at camp. Probably my favorite moment was I shared the gospel the first morning in the devotional time with the boys. Just the boys. And I was sharing out of Romans 6:23. I used the bridge illustration. Wages, sin, and death is on one side. The gift of God, eternal life is on the other side. And Jesus Christ spans the gap. Jesus Christ is the way to get from death to life. And at the end, I pray. I said, I'm going to pray. And if you've never decided to follow Jesus, I invite you to pray with me. You don't have to repeat after me. Just pray. Pray to yourself. Well, they repeated after me anyway. And so they're praying these words that I'm praying. And at the end, I prayed something like, and Lord, live in us. And you could hear them just ramping up. Lord, live in us so that you can live through us. So that you can live through us. And that the world would know that you are the Lord. And that the world would know you are the Lord. And they just all broke out. Ah! And, yeah! You know, that is in me. That is in me. And some of you, that is in you, I hope. That's in you. That's what Beautiful Feet is all about. God wants to use you and me. I'm no expert. My wife is way better with kids than I am. I'm just a guy that is trying to follow Jesus myself. And sometimes not doing that very well. But I just want to keep impressing on you, no matter where you stand with the Lord, no matter how ugly you think your feet are, Jesus wants to give you beautiful feet today. Go ahead.
We came home from camp, and we had a farewell party for interns. We prayed over them. We sent them back to their schools and their families. And that was a joyful event, but a sad event because we had really connected with them this summer. Go ahead. And then right after that, we had an all-church gathering. Now, what this is we were trying quarterly to gather the people that are involved with our house church. And, COVID, as with everything else, kind of uprooted things, changed things. We were trying to meet by Zoom, but if you've met a lot on Zoom, you know that's not very fun. Doing church online was just, anyway, enough of that. Most of our house churches were discontinued. They, for one reason or the other, most of the refugees were really scared. And So now this summer, we've been opening things up. We've got two house churches that are mostly American. One is being run by my co-leader, and one is in one of the apartment complexes. And then we have this 83-year-old man, a pastor from Haiti, that is just a fiery evangelist. And he loves to come to Clarkston and go door-to-door evangelism. This summer, he's planted two house churches. And so I'm helping him with that. We've actually, one is in Swahili. Neither of us speak Swahili, but we found another missionary that's kind of, they were ministering in Africa. They're here on, because they can't get back into the country that they were ministering in. And so, hey, he knows Swahili, so he's our translator. And again, that's how God works. But in that all-church gathering, we had about 80 people, and many kids. A couple of our ladies brought several kids to the meeting, and they participated. And that was just a couple weeks ago. Go ahead. And so I want to thank you. Thank you for praying for our family and our team. Your prayers and your generosity uplift us and enable us to continue to love our neighbors. And the cool thing is our neighbors are from all over the world. If you give to the Christian and Missionary Alliance, you got an email recently about I just got an email from the CMA myself for a Great Commission offering. There's a video about her, and she has an amazing story. But she has adopted my family. She calls my wife her daughter. She calls my kids her grandchildren. Thank you for loving us, for being with us in this. We really feel like this church is with us in this ministry. And I'm excited that Pastor gave me an opportunity to share with you. Go to the last one. Again, beautiful feet. I want to commission you as I finish my message this morning and pray for you. We thank you, Jesus, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. And Lord, we thank you that as we follow you, as we walk in your footsteps in making disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. One, I thank you that you are with us. And two, I thank you that you continue to transform us from the feet up. Keep washing our feet, Jesus. Keep making us beautiful. Thank you that our identity is in you. And I look forward to see what you are going to do in the coming weeks and months and years with this church. And I pray that you would use them, and I commission them on behalf of Jesus to go to the nations that are all around them here in the Pittsburgh area, to go to the poor, to go to the needy, and to love them as you love them, which includes speaking and sharing the good news of Jesus. Thank you that you are with all of us. Me and my family down in Clarkston, this church here in Upper St. Clair, we praise you that we are connected and that we are one body.
And we give you all the glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.